Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Vicky Otaruina, is an author, teacher, speaker, and an elevation coach. She is dedicated to empowering women and youth and helping people build their brands through her books, teachings, and training sessions, all backed by scripture. She encourages people to move from darkness to light as they strive to pursue new ideas and passions. Good morning, Vicky. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you so much, Patty. It is a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Vicky, it's such a delight to have you here. I'm so thrilled that somehow you found me, that we found each other. I just love the way the Lord brings us together sometimes. It's quite amazing. So, Vicky, I'm familiar with different terms throughout counseling and things like that, but I had not heard, and maybe other people have, I had not heard the term elevation coach. So if you would explain that to us, what that means.
Yes, definitely, definitely, I will explain it. So an elevation coach, as the word says, elevation will help you pursue your peak potential. So it's really a name that God gave me based on my experiences and all that he poured or placed inside of me as one to help persons discover their purpose. Not only discover, but as you discover, you are doing all that it takes to become all that God has called you to be. So you're not remaining at the same position all your life. You are elevating, and elevating in the things of God, elevating in the call that is on your life, and elevating to peak potential. So that when you leave this earth, you have done all that God has called you to be, to do, sorry. So an elevation coach really uses the symbol of the caged ego being unleashed to soar as a framework of becoming all that God has called you to be. So as you may be going through so much right now, and you may feel caged. So my job is to help you understand that you're called to soar like the eagle. You're called to be great. You're called to have great wisdom, great knowledge. You're called to soar above normal. And my job is to help you get out of that cage and fly high using those awesome wings to become all that God has called you to be.
So, Vicky, it sounds like God puts the passion into our hearts and he gives us the wonderful ideas, and you are the one that helps a person act upon those ideas and those passions.
Yes.
Sounds like a wonderful, wonderful profession to have. Well, you are dedicated to empowering women and teens and helping business people effectively communicate their brands. And boy, that's a tough one, I know, because as a aspiring writer here, finding that brand can be difficult. So what childhood experiences led you to pursue these endeavors? When you were young, did you think, this is something I would like to do, or did you follow that path later on?
Thank you so much for that question, and I really do love this question because it makes me think about who I was or where I came from, and then who God has, what I have been developed or what I have been matured to become. So as a child, I always loved helping people. So you would find that I would be the one who others would be drawn to me, and especially those that were either on the lower end of society or troubled or just maybe bullied or persons not looking at them. Those persons would always be drawn to me. And I would find that I would always have the right things to say, and I would always be the one that would be their friend because nobody else wants to, or maybe they seem strange or something. And it always was natural for that to happen. So when it comes then to working with teens who are you know, troubled or having issues in society, it's easy for me to embrace them and say, well, you have been called for something great. And I'm going to get to how where that mentality of greatness came from. So then I also loved doing new things and starting new activities as a child. So my parents always they would never say no if I came with an idea of, you know, I want to learn to play the clarinet. I want to join this. I want to learn to swim. It was always okay, and the necessary provisions were there. So deep down inside, there was this drive in me. As long as the idea came to my mind and I knew that it's something that I wanted to do, which the idea would have been placed there by God, my parents then facilitated it and made sure that it was done. So all the gifts and abilities, leadership, things that I would have been involved in as a child, I now see God is using those things to help others. So it wasn't like or what I should say is that when I look back, I see that God would have placed these desires in me, these things in me, because from that very moment, even as a child, he was preparing me to become who he had called me to be. So when it comes to working with women, of course, I think that's related a lot to the advice I used to give people, and also those that were not being treated well being drawn to me. So much so that now, as women are going through their hurts and pains, and I too would have gone through my hurts and pains, even things in childhood and in my younger 20s and earlier 30s, things that I would have gone through and how God would have helped me through his scripture, through spiritual counseling and so on, those are the things now that he has created like a template to help other women. So you asked about childhood, and I want the listener to understand that there's things inside of them that would be happening over and over, thoughts and passions and things like a broken record that can't seem to leave their lives, even from childhood. It is important to realize those are the things that are going to help, that God is going to use or showing you that he's going to use and develop over time to help others and transform their lives. And it starts from childhood. I hope I've answered the question.
You absolutely have, most thoroughly, Vicki, and thank you. And yes, isn't it kind of fun when you're probably not near as old as I am, but when we get older and you look back on patterns that have occurred in your life or people you have met or situations you have faced and you think, oh, wow, maybe that's why I was going through this, that, or the other thing. And yes, it is quite amazing. I know here on the show we have talked more than once about how when someone is going through a difficult time, you certainly don't want to tell them at the moment, well, this pain is going to be good for you because you're going to help somebody else with it. People don't want to hear that at the time that they are seriously hurting. But when we look back, mm-hmm. we realize that there is a reason for, what's the old metaphor, where we see the bottom of the tapestry that looks horrible with all these threads hanging out, but God sees the top. And I think that's true in our lives where sometimes we don't know why things are happening. And then there's the good things too. It's like, wow, this contributed to whatever I'm doing now. So yeah, you did answer thoroughly. And thank you so much for that, Vicki. It sounds like your parents were very supportive of you. Were you raised in a Christian home?
I was raised in a home where Christian values were very, very important. I can't say that my parents were dedicated Christians, but because of their upbringing and believing in Jesus Christ, they made sure that we went to church. The things that my mother would speak to us, I later realized came from the Bible, because she would always talk about reading to her grandmother, who was blind as a child. So a lot of what she said and a lot of her principles, I later realized it was based on or had a foundation in the Word of God. So they're encouraging me to go to church, making sure that I was there, making sure that I was involved in church activities, that I feel was such a great foundation to mold me to who I am today.
Yes. You've done quite a bit of counseling with people. You provide these different services. Talk about the key elements you have identified that hold people back from pursuing their God-given purpose. Sometimes you feel like, gee, can't this person see what they're supposed to be doing? Why aren't they doing it?
Sure. And I love the fact that you said, gee, can't this person see who they're called to be? And they're unable to see because they are blinded by the negative words, number one, negative words that have been spoken over their lives very often by people in authority. And before I was a coach, I used to study a lot of Derek Prince's teachings, and I remember his book, Blessing or Curse. It spoke about the fact that people in authority in your life, they have such an effect on you, because, of course, words have power. And then those in authority who are there, positioned by God, there to lead you in a certain direction, it's a little different when it comes from a friend, but when the person in authority, like a parent, a teacher, a pastor, speak negative things over you, you then subconsciously or unconsciously agree with that. And some people believe, I will never be nothing. Somebody would have said to them, oh, you're just like your father. Perhaps the father's in prison. So that child or person grows up with that mentality of accepting, unconsciously or subconsciously, accepting this thing that has been spoken because of the life that comes with the word. And then they're blinded to the real truth which God has laid out in his word. So while they're looking at the standard of what that person said to them, they're not looking at the standard of the word which says you are great, you're a royal priesthood, you're chosen, you will do great things. I ordained you before the beginning of time to be something, to be a mouthpiece for me, to go there and tell people about me no matter where you are, no matter what your industry, you're out there to make a change. So those negative words impact others. Number two, it's fear. People are so afraid of going forward with that idea. They're so afraid of writing that book, for instance. If part of your purpose is to be a mouthpiece through writing, and you're so fearful because you don't want to share that story or nobody's going to listen to me, that lack of self-worth, even as an author, that's an issue. And all that fear, it affects us and prevents us from stepping forward. It prevents us from doing what God has called us to do. And then number three, there's shame. There's so many things that we have gone through that because we are so ashamed, we think that we were stupid for making that decision, for making that error, the shame of teenage pregnancy, abortion, all these things come up, and the shame of being, of perhaps domestic violence. And we are so ashamed of even telling others where God has brought us to. That thing is not happening anymore, but we are even so ashamed to say, well, God did this for me. And God taught me that is a muzzle on our voice. He wants us to speak. He wants us to tell. He wants us to testify. He wants us to share. He wants us to become everything that he has called us to be. And with the muzzle of shame on our mouth like a pit bull, we really can't do anything. It's like a lion having their mouth muzzled. You can't roar. You can't do what God has called you to do. You can't be the king of the jungle or the queen of the jungle. You can't be who God has actually created you to be. You are the lion or you are the eagle, but your wings are held down and your mouth as the lion is covered. How can you actually be that with that shame muzzling you and chaining you? And the fourth one is those subconscious thoughts, and that goes back to everything you said, those subconscious thoughts that nobody's going to listen, and you may not be speaking it, but it's so ingrained in you that you can't have the energy and the power to step forward and do it because of where your thoughts are. So there's always a need to see an elevation coach such as I am to help you to discover what that issue is and then steps on how you will destroy that issue and become great as God has called you to be.
You've laid that out very well, Vicki, and I would like to add to that as well. Not only is there shame and fear, and there's also that feeling of comparison, especially in this modern day world with all the social media and everything. And I think sometimes we look at other people's tools, and most of the time it's a fictitious life that they put out there on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not near as good of a mom as this person, or I can't write a book near as good as this person did, so why bother? And I think that's another huge factor anymore, is that we get into that comparison game of wanting to be better than other people or as good as, and we just, and then the fear kicks in where we're never going to make it, so why bother?
Yeah.
So yes, thank you for outlining all of those issues. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Vicky Otorina. Vicky is an author, a speaker, a teacher, and an elevation coach. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is available on Archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Vicky. In your counseling and the services that you provide, what resources do you use to help your clients overcome these obstacles that we did talk about before the break?
Sure. So I use a number of different things, and it really is, what I use is always unique to that specific person's needs and what God is saying to me about them and what they are called to do. But I use something called the SOAR template. That's S-O-A-R. S stands for situation analysis. So as a marketer, I basically have implemented the elements, the basic elements of marketing planning to help you become who God has called you to be and reach that peak potential. So the S is situation analysis. We go through a process of helping you identify, looking at your situation, analyzing where are the problems, what are the problems, and putting it all on paper. What is affecting you? What are the outside factors that have you in the position that you are today? What are the internal issues? What is happening on the inside of you that has you where you are today? We then move on to objectives. Objectives are, okay, based on what we've analyzed, based on what God has shown us and what we found, based on our exercises, we are going to develop some key objectives on how you will become who God has called you to be. And, of course, in that process, you're being taught on how to identify purpose and how to unravel what God has placed in you so that you are clear on what's there. And then the A is action plan. So we develop a clear action plan to execute those objectives of becoming healed, whole, and purpose-driven. And the R is review. So after your implementation, over months, over years, there always has to be a review. A review of, have I accomplished what I've set out to accomplish? Have I even scratched the surface? And if not, here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to go back to. Here's how we need to adjust that plan. And in that process, we are using the Word of God. We are basing everything on the Word of God. We are basing everything on revelation. So we're going through prayer sessions. We're going through our revelation sessions. God is speaking in the moment about that person, and all of it is being noted so that we are missing nothing. And we also have various prayer and fasting templates, because I can't tell you what God has called you to be unless he reveals it to me. And if he doesn't reveal it to me, I'm sure he's revealing the elements that you need to know so that you yourself can go to him and let him reveal to you about the aspects and every area of what you've been called to. But we do this, the praying and the fasting plans, and these plans are necessary because there's some issues that people go through that they need to fast and they need to pray to see that deliverance. So we base everything on the Word of God, on prayer, on fasting, and also on my experience as a marketer and meshing that with the prophetic ability that God has placed inside of me.
I think that's wonderful, Vicki, that you can mesh your experiences with the marketing piece, because that is a big part of it. In a sense, as you have stated here, more or less, we are all marketing ourselves to a degree. Whether we have a business or not, we are marketing ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So you are very fortunate to have that background in both of those, and to be able to integrate them in the way you do is a wonderful gift.
Thank you so much.
I knew you had some books out there, and I kind of wanted to just pick one. The book I chose to read was God's Perfect Timing, Embracing God's Will for Your Life, because that's a topic that always fascinates me. And I was so glad I did, because one of the things you speak about that is really a difficult one for me is patience. If you don't mind, I'm going to quote from you. I love this line. You said, you're speaking of patience as one of the fruits of the Spirit, which it is. And here I quote, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. I love that line.
Thank you.
So tell us, how should we act while waiting?
While waiting, all of us at some point, no matter where we are called to be or what we're called to do, we will have to go through a waiting season. Having patience is necessary. Patience does not mean that you stop what you're doing and just you sit and you wait and you wait for this thing in the atmosphere for the goal or the light to go. What you do in the waiting season or act while waiting is important. What you do in that season is get closer to God. So you're not being quiet, or you're not being still, rather. But you're consciously making or intentionally making the effort to hear what God wants you to do, whether it's something to do in the moment or the future. But you're getting closer to him to hear what it is that he wants you to do, and you are developing while in the process. So the process of waiting, some people are anxious, they get angry, so they lose the patience. But really and truly, you're supposed to be, God, what is it that you want me to be prepared for? What that thing that I'm waiting for, how do you want me to prepare for it now? So he may plunge you into fasting. He may plunge you into reading the Word. He may plunge you into one chapter or one verse of the Bible to study that for 6 months. It's all about knowing what God wants you to do in the moment, so that when you get to the point where you've exhausted that wait, you are ready. So you're waiting season, you're being patient, but it's also a preparation season. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. But it's that preparation season where it's all about how you act. You're not angry. You're not, God, why is this happening? Why am I not married? But you're asking God, what is in me right now that needs to be removed? And even as I talk to single women, it's all about, am I really the bride of Christ? Before I even think about being a bride, am I really a bride the way God would want me to be? Am I really a bride to the bridegroom? Am I really loving God the way he should? Am I prepared for him? Am I getting ready for him? But some people get caught up so much on, okay, God, you said wait, but when am I going to get married? When am I going to find that husband? It will come. What you are called to do is make sure you can be that wife to God first. So it's what, how you act in the waiting that makes the difference.
I love that explanation, Vicki. And we often, as writers, I'm involved in a couple of writing groups, and we often talk about that. Here I am in my early 70s and just put my first, it was a little Christmas novella that I put out there, and I think, oh man, it would have been so neat if I'd been doing this when I was 40 or 50 and I could have written all these books. But then I think back, and it's like you culminate all of those life experiences to come to that one moment. So, yeah, maybe I would have done okay at 40 or 50, who knows. But the thing is, I think sometimes God says, no, I had a career for you back when you were in your 40s and 50s. You were still finishing up your career, and you were raising your kids, and this was the thing I had for you back then. You needed to wait to be that writer. And it's hard, though. It's very difficult for us to accept that. And sometimes you almost wonder, why does he make us wait? Why doesn't he just make us not want for whatever until we're going to get it? But you have explained that very well, that he puts us through a process of learning and building character and building maturity and all those things. So, yes, that's true. Although waiting is hard for us, he has a reason for it.
Definitely.
Another key point that you also addressed in this book was knowing when to let go. What signs does God provide to help us know when we should let go of a certain situation, circumstance, or something in our lives that we really want to hold on to?
Yes. Thank you. I wrote that section with anything in mind, letting go in general. But I think when I wrote the book, I would have been going through letting go of a relationship. So I will explain it from that standpoint.
Okay.
And sometimes we go through situations and it's not working. I would have come to Jesus Christ, so my mindset totally changed. At that time, my life totally changed. My passion and desire for the things of God was like a volcano. And the other person was not going on that journey. So what happens is that we can be in situations where, I didn't want to say unequally yoked, but where you and either it's a person or you and that project, it's not going right. So there's no unity. There's the unity of Christ is not there. The togetherness of Christ is not there. So much confusion is there. God is not the author of confusion. Let it go. God will not have you in a position working on something, being in a relationship, having a desire, and that thing is not following or does not line up with what the Word of God says. So it's important to know the Word of God. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, let it go. Because one of the things that we must understand is that when we let go, we are totally trusting God. That if it is his will, he will sort it out. If it isn't his will, he is our father. He is our teacher. He's our guide. He's our protector. And he will lead us in the path, down the direction. He will hold our hands like our parents can't. God is so much greater than our parents and anybody else. So we have to come to that place of trust that we can say, if this does not look like God, if it doesn't line up with the Word, it doesn't line up with the values of God, it's time to let it go. And if there's so much confusion and it's not there, the peace is not there, the fruit of the Spirit is not in operation in that thing, we can comfortably let it go knowing that God loves us so much. He protects us so much that even if we let go and he wants it, he will recreate it for us. He will restart it for us. But we have to be so willing to just give it all to God. And when we give it all to God, God begins to actually open our eyes and ears because we've chosen to move away from the noise of the situation. We've chosen to move away from the thing because sometimes the noise of our situation, it deafens and blinds us. And when we come away, God then speaks to us in a different way that we can see, oh my gosh, this thing, I shouldn't have been in this thing. I shouldn't have done this thing. I shouldn't have been attached to that project. I shouldn't have taken that job. I shouldn't have gone that place. He then opens our eyes. And as he opens our eyes and we continue in that journey of letting him hold our hands, he will lead us to where he wants us to go. So it's important to let go when it doesn't line up with God.
You know, the thought that went through my mind as I was reading through that section, Vicki, again, I am sure that I am considerably older than you. But you look at people in their 70s and 80s who have a hard time letting go of things. That's what I'm going through right now, decluttering my house more or less. But even letting go of a living situation. I don't need a three-bedroom house anymore when I'm not 81, but, you know, I've raised my kids. My husband has passed. I don't need this three-bedroom house anymore, and it's very hard for people to accept the fact that, gee, maybe I need a small apartment that I can take care of, that I don't have to do all this housework and yard work and these things. And that was the thought that went through my mind as I was reading that section of your book, that, yeah, there are things change in our lives and we have to adapt to them and realize that God is leading us down a different path.
And even in that simple thing, or even in that circumstance, not simple thing, but in that circumstance, mm-hmm. sometimes we get so attached to the things we are accustomed to and the things that we love and the things that we know. But is it really good for us, or is it really right in this season? Is it the right thing to do?
Vicki, we're told in Scripture, this is a difficult topic, we are told in Scripture to act in faith. Talk about what happens, though, when despite our strong faith, things don't change or things go, in our mind, terribly wrong. How do we reckon ourselves with that?
Well, I would say that the Bible tells us to have faith. We can't do anything without faith, or we can't please God without faith. But there are times in our lives that we will have faith, but it doesn't mean that it's what God wants. So despite our strong faith, things may not change, or they may not be different because we haven't really sat with God and asked him, what is your will for this situation? So very often people end up in tears and end up in sorrow when things happen. Yes, God said have faith, and that doesn't mean that you're supposed to just not have faith, but we are called as God's children to have faith. But there are also situations where we should ask God, is this really what you want for my life? Mm-hmm. Is this really what you desire for me? It's not to say that faith is wasted, but if God says no, we accept that is no, then we're not there having faith for something that's going to cause us to be disappointed in the end. And of course, God does not tell us everything. So there are some times where you will have strong faith and the person still dies or the situation never changes. But there are circumstances where God is just waiting for you to come to him. He's just waiting for you to have that conversation, have that commune with him to tell you, my daughter, my son, this is not what I want for you. I want you to step left. You're having faith for stepping right, and you're trying all that you need to try to stop step right. It's not happening. And in the end, when you actually get to step right and you realize, shoot, that step was there, so I missed my step and fell, you had faith, but you still fell because God was telling you, come to me, I'm actually calling you to step left. And I want to give you the strategy on how to step left. I want to give you even greater faith on how to pursue the left step. So it's important, very, very important. Faith is never wasted, but it's very, very important to know, to seek God and to hear what he's saying, because sometimes we spend so much time having faith for something that God is ready to tell you, and sometimes we ignore God, and he's telling us it's not going to work. It will not work because, as I said before, it doesn't line up with the word. It doesn't bring peace, etc. It doesn't make sense. It's costing you more. It's going to affect your life physically. But we stay doing it because we just stay on that word of, oh, the Bible says I must have faith. The Bible says faith is nothing without action. The Bible says faith pleases God. You can't please God without faith. But we don't remember the word of God also tells us that we must call on God and he will answer. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It also tells you, don't lean to your own understanding. Consider him and he will direct your way. So while you're having faith, consider him, tell him, talk to him, and he will direct your path. He will tell you where you need to step, what you need to do, and you won't be disappointed in the end. And you won't be telling God, God, I trusted you, I believed in you, and this happened. No. Seek God. Hear God. Ask him to open up your ears that you can hear him and respond to him as he speaks.
There are times though when it is still very difficult because we have our human wishes and desires and dreams, and sometimes when they are not realized, we just have a very hard time understanding. So yes, thank you for discussing that topic, Vicki. Well, tell us, I know you have several books out there.
Tell us about War Prayers Inspired by the Psalms, which I don't really think has anything to do with the military.
It is a book on Psalm 1-25. That it's called Prayers from the Psalms.
Yes.
And that book, because I'm also an intercessor, a prophetic intercessor, and God uses me much in warfare. So we use the scripture to prayer, so I wrote that book using the Psalms, where each Psalm then I turned into a warfare prayer, and so many persons have been delivered, have received their deliverance, have received their elevation from reading those prayers, because they really are prayers that are designed to destroy the plans of the enemy.
I also know I didn't mention this, that at the end, at the conclusion of your God's Perfect Timing book, you have an 8-week journal of prayers too, which kind of scan through them. And yes, they are very effective too. And Vicki, I know that I've been through your website. I've done some research on your website, and I see where you have some freebies that you offer. Could you tell folks a little bit about them? What kind of resources you have there? Yeah.
Sure. There are a number of resources on my website, which is VickiOtarina.com/freebies, and they're overcomers declarations. So using the word of God, there's some declarations there that will help you as in overcoming anything that you're going through using the word of God. There's also birthing your purpose of 5-day devotional, and that takes you through a process of just activating that desire to discover who you are. We have declarations for your child, so it could be a child that's just born, or a child that you have, or even an adult child. 10 scripturally based declarations to speak over your child's purpose. So that's just you praying and declaring, oh, you've been created for a great purpose. You will become all that God has called you to be, and the like. We also have my radio show recordings and some videos as well on there's interviews. And there's one for teens and youth, the Daily Greatness Affirmations. So this free gift will help you as a teen or youth, or if you're a grandmother listening, a mother listening, this is going to help your child see the greatness and declare the greatness that God placed in them before they were even in your womb.
I believe it's every 3 months that you have a magazine that you put out. Would you tell us about that?
Sure. The magazine is called Divine Purpose Magazine. It's a quarterly magazine. We have special issues as well, so you would see some for the youth, some for the men, other special issues coming out. But I started that magazine in 2017 as a directive from the Lord, to as He is was training me and still is training me to help others to discover and execute the call of God on their lives and their divine purpose. He told me I needed to put this publication in place that would be a bridge between the reader and their God-given purpose. And what that bridge really does is that as you get on the bridge, which is opening up that magazine, you get the resources, you get the wisdom, the testimonies, the interviews, the experience to become all that God has called you to be. So it's motivational, it's inspirational. There's also a bit of coaching articles in there, parenting, godly marriage, and so much more from this magazine, Divine Purpose Magazine. And our website is www.divinepurposemagazine.net.
Vicki, it sounds wonderful. Now, does a person subscribe to the magazine for a fee, an annual fee, or how does that work?
Right now, the magazine is available on issue.com. There's no fee attached to it. So you can go to my website, as I said before, and you can sign up. Just put your email, give us your email, and automatically you'll get an email saying that with the latest issue inside there.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you. That sounds like a wonderful resource for folks, and I will definitely check it out myself. Vicki, you've shared so much with us today, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing all that you did.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much also, Patty, for having me here. Thank you, and God bless you.
May God continue to bless you and all of your endeavors as well, Vicki. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled pattisheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the homepage. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.